This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan, and joining me, as always, is Ben. And this week, we're not doing Sin City.
We're not.
The, like, exact opposite. I believe both took our kids, our eldest kids, to their first movie theater experience. So this week we're doing Toy Story 5, and we will have to find a double feature that fits this bill, but...
we can find something, I'm sure.
But yeah, the latest installment in the Toy Story...
franchise?
Pin trilogy? No. Yeah, franchise. It's literally just came out, June 19th. So, we're doing a review within the first couple of weeks. Who are we? Toy Story 4 is the story of Woody, Buzz, Jesse, and the rest of the gang's jobs are challenged when they're introduced. What?
Toy Story 4?
Sorry, 5.
Leave it in.
I'm going to be all wonky because we also watched...
I know he edits just to make me look stupid. Leave it in.
Well, we watched Toy Story 3 on the Friday prior to gear up for it. So I'm just I might just be all out of whack of things that happened in this movie and that the other one. So we'll see how people can really call me out in the comments.
Dylan watched Toy Story best and last. It's kind of like Jackass, where it's a whole new movie, but it's really just mostly clips from the old movies they did.
Woody, Buzz, Jesse, and the rest of the gang's jobs are challenged when they're introduced to electronics, a new threat to playtime. It currently sits at a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd, 92% on the tomato meter and 95% on the popcorn meter. So that's the fan score on Rotten Tomato, and people are loving it on there. All the weirdos that use Rotten Tomatoes to leave reviews, but it stars as classic Toy Story, as one does. It stars Tom Hanks as Woody, Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear, Joan Cusack as Jesse, I texted Ben. I was like, did you only take him to see Toy Story 5 because Conan O'Brien's in the movie?
No, actually what you said was, are you going to take your son to see this because Conan O'Brien is in it? And I said, correction, I already took him to see it. Conan was just an added bonus. We got home and my wife was like, I was trying to figure out who it was. And it wasn't until the different animation scene when he had the hair that I was like, oh my God, it's Conan.
He does kind of do a good job of not necessarily sounding quite like Conan the whole time.
Yeah.
Conan plays Smarty Pants, which is a potty training device. Greta Lee plays Lily Pad, which is like the iPad villain. You have Scarlett.
Not a villain. We'll talk about it, but
Scarlett Spears voices Bonnie. Craig Robinson is in there as Atlas. Kristen Shaw as Trixie again. Tony Hale as Forky. Bonnie Hunt as Dolly. Maddie Matheson is in there as Dr. Nutcase.
Yep, very briefly. Yeah.
Obviously, Wallace Shawn is Rex. Blake Clark is Slinky Dog. I will say, this one does a. I don't know how I was going to word this, but It's a Jesse movie. Well, I'll kind of say that.
It's if you'll people watching this can go back. You can see the look on my face when we said starring Tom Hanks as Woody, and I went, Is it though? Tom Hanks got, I would love to be Tom Hanks in this movie.
Because
that man
he got paid to
paid not for a do day's work.
Yeah.
A day's work.
I literally, like, after watching the movie, I was like, I feel like they just threw Woody in there because it's a Toy Story movie. Like, he's in there to get ragged on for being old and bald, and that's basically
the whole point of the movie. Hey, toys, skew, all right?
but
it's bad enough
I
hear it from my son when he goes, Daddy, where's your hair? Now I have to hear it from movies. My son sits there and points my beard and goes, oh, do I get my beard when my hair leaves?
You just need a brown marker. Brown Sharpie.
I know. I need to fold Giuliani and just get some shoe polish up in there. Start sweating streaks.
But I will say, so obviously, if you have not seen the movie, it's about to be spoiler laden. So maybe check out the movie before you can see it in theaters. I'm sure it'll be on Disney Plus in the next few weeks if you have not seen it. So the premise of the movie, and I feel like how it's marketed is it's always been like tech versus toys, like. And in the movie, Bonnie's having trouble making friends because she still plays with toys. And a lot of the kids and most of the kids are all on screens and iPads and this like lily pad. And so her parents give her a lily pad and she starts to not play with the toys as much, causing this whole kickoff of things happening. And she gets this like lily pad iPad that tries to like and get her friends through her dance class and all this. But I will say that, like, Jesse being the main character, I feel like was honestly the best choice because Jesse has the most, like, in-depth backstory out of any character in these movies. Because, like, you know, Woody and Buzz, they're just Andy's toys, you know?
Which, okay. Is weird to me that Woody, as a toy, established in Toy Story 2, would have been
much older
about the same time as Jessie, and yet Jessie has, like, this multiple iterations of her life, and then Woody's just like, nope, just Andy's, never anything before. It's like, well, this doesn't really make sense.
Well, I wonder if he's like, well, no, because in the Toy Story 2, he's like sought after because he is a vintage collectible.
Vintage, yeah.
Well, I wonder if he's like a hand-me-down from his parents or something. I don't know.
I don't know. But, you know, it is just one of those things where it's like, you know, oh, Jesse has all these experiences with previous kids, but Woody is just like, no, he doesn't have anything. Nothing at all.
Well, Jesse only has the one kid. Like, she has Emily and then Andy.
Yeah.
And then now she's with Bonnie. But, it is like her whole backstory with Emily is, like, so fleshed out and, like, developed, I feel like. Whereas, yeah, it's like the others. The other thing in this movie is this Buzz Lightyear army of high-tech Buzzes that just feels like an ends to a mean for them to help escape from the truck at the end.
Yeah, they really just, like, it kind of took me out of it every time it was like, we're in the middle of this story, and now cut away to the castaway Buzzes.
The tribe of Buzzes that are, about to attack this family camping because they took one of the buses.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny, but at the end of the movie, I was that really served no purpose to the plot.
Like you said, it was enjoyable. Yeah. It was kind of nice, but it was just like, this just seems like we're cutting away from the main story, and we had to fill an hour and a half. We need to explain why buzzes are here, but also, yeah, we wrote this script, and it's like it's a great 40-minute script. We need to fill time. How do we do it? Well, we have all these buzzes. Where do they come from? We got it. All right.
A cargo container crashes. They're stuck on an island. They build a boat.
A cargo container washes ashore, which automatically makes no sense. It's a cargo container. That bitch sinking.
It's like, then the only thing that they do is they show up and they ride all the horses, and then they go and help save Lily from the donation truck. It's like,
yeah.
And then they have the after credit scene. That's about it. You know, it was really like, oh, this is kind of funny, you know, like, all right, well, it doesn't really fit in the plot. And yeah, like you said, like you're cutting away from like there was one that was really jarring, and it might have been like, I think it was when they're playing, maybe it was at the top of the stairs or something or whatever, but they're like, it does that like animated, like drawn scene where they're like, they're playing, and then like it leaves the play session and goes to the buzzes, and yeah, like cuts to the other stuff. And it was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
that's a weird pacing here.
Okay. As someone who went to school wanting to do 2D animation and who's done, you know, obviously I know about 3D modeling and everything along those lines, growing up and seeing kind of the leaving of 2D into all primarily 3D, especially in terms of Disney features.
Yeah.
What do you think of the way Pixar is doing things now with this kind of 3D but then drawn over style? I can't decide if I like it. I saw they advertised for their next feature.
Which one?
Gatto.
Yeah.
And it's all like that 3D, but then it looks very kind of line art over, but the line art is also just very kind of scratchy, and I don't know how I feel about it. Part of me is like, oh, it's very cool and it's innovative to see almost kind of bridging back to 2D. And then the other part of me is like, it doesn't look clean. If you're going to go back to 2D, make it look clean.
I mean, personally, as long as it fits the, like, fits the whole style, like, I didn't mind it in this one where it's all the Pixar, like, clean.
Yeah, and it's supposed to look, even, like, when it cuts to that, it's supposed to look like crayon and kind of drawn over.
And it's good to, like, differentiate, because I feel like sometimes when you watch, I mean, I don't know. I was going to say, like, sometimes when you watch it, you know, you'd have, like, the hands and they're doing things. But I kind of liked it in this one because it differentiates, like, the play session from, like, what's happening and stuff. I don't know. I don't mind. Like, I mean, Pixar films are fucking beautiful for what they are. I mean, you look at anything Disney and Pixar have done in the last, I don't know, I mean, maybe 20 years at this point, it still holds up. It still looks so good. And they've gotten so good at lighting now.
Oh, it's nuts.
And
it's so insane, man. Like, it's so nuts. We had an animator from Pixar that came in and did a talk at Eastern what was one of the ones that came out? It wasn't like one of the franchisey ones.
Was it Coco?
No, it was before then. This would have been 2013 or 14.
Because Coco was one of the first ones where it was like, holy shit. Like, they're so...
No. This is crazy. Was Good Dinosaur.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they showed us what, like, obviously, you know, knowing 3DS Max and the daylight systems and things like that that they used to generate, they showed us all of the lighting and stuff that went into it, which was insane. But, oh my god, the Good Dinosaur for that movie, they completely redesigned how 3D animation does water, and especially clouds. And just seeing like the daylight water and everything was just like, this is fucking insane. If you guys didn't like style it, if you didn't have like the Pixar characters there, you could have shown a render and been like, this is just a photograph. You could have shown the video and been like, this is just video we took on an island somewhere. And I'd have been like, yeah, I believe it.
I mean, that's how I feel about like, is it Frozen 2, I think? I've watched a lot of Frozen 2 lately with Isla being obsessed with it. But yeah. Frozen 2, like the water in that just looks so good. And I'm like, wow. Not something you ever like think about. Like watching this movie, even Toy Story 5, there's the scene where Bonnie, they go to the ice cream store. And then she gets upset when the girls like start making fun of her in the chat, and she's like sitting in there, and it kind of like shows her and like holding the lily pad and stuff, and there's like stuff in the crack on the seat, like junk in the like that kids would leave in the car seat, and I was like, I want to be the guy that like that's your job in the animation studio.
It is crazy though after. Like seeing this coming home and watching Toy Story 1.
Oh, yeah.
And being like.
That was cutting edge animation at that time.
I know, but looking at it and being like, you know, with like one person and a decent amount of time, they could make this now as one person.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. And then you look at what they're doing now and you're like, this is just. It's like watching a student film and then seeing what a real film is, like what a real studio can do with it.
You know, having watched Toy Story 3 recently in preparation for this movie.
All right, I'm about to say something crazy.
Oh?
I never saw 3 or 4.
Ben, let me tell you.
Really?
How did this movie make you feel emotionally?
So, all right, I'm going to say this. We got the trilogy on DVD for my mom for Christmas one year because she really wanted it. We didn't go see it. It's not like we went and saw it in theaters, whatever. Yeah. And then, like, it was one of those things where it's like, it was a Christmas gift, so I'm not going to open this to watch the movie, especially, like, even when asking my mom. She's like, no, I just kind of want to watch it by myself because she knew she would be emotional about it.
Yeah.
And then it was like she never watched it. And so at that point, it was just like, well, I'm not just going to open this without her.
Yeah.
And then I moved away, and now I'm like, I know I need to watch it at some point, but like, yeah, I don't know when I'm going to watch it, whatever. And then when 4 came out, I was just like, nah, I don't know.
I mean, we're old. We didn't have kids at the point. Like,
yeah. 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 No, this movie, for sure, there were moments where I'm not ashamed to say as a grown man, I was just trying not to cry like a little girl.
Oh man, I'm in there. I'm like trying to act tough, and I'm like got my popcorn napkins. I'm like, oh god.
Yeah.
But no, dude. If this one gets you,
oh, dude, I know that. That's why I haven't watched.
Watch three.
Is I know it's gonna just be
because the end of three brutal. Is yeah.
Well, I just you know I have the I know you know a bit of what happens in that, but like I had a conversation because it came out three came out our. Right after our senior, like the summer after,
it was like 2013, so it would have been.
I thought it was 12
freshman year of college, but well, hold on, we could find out. Toy Story 3 came out in 2010. So
really,
so it was like junior year of high school, sophomore year of high school.
I thought it was later than that,
but I wasn't really watching Disney movies when
I was in high school. Wasn't either, but I remember talking to one of my best friends in high school, his mom, who's like, I can't watch that movie. She's like, she's like, you'll understand one day. She's like, but for me, you got to realize that first movie came out when you guys were 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then the second one came out, you know, around the same, like, you guys kind of grew up the same way Andy did. And now all of the things of you guys getting old enough to be leaving and all of these things, they hit much different when you're a parent who's facing it down, you know, yeah, facing it down more than it does when you're a kid who's just, you know, you guys see it from Andy's perspective, but we see it from the point that we've watched Andy grow up this whole time.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know if I'm emotionally ready for that. And then I haven't done it.
Oh, that's me and Hannah, like, after watching the fifth one. Like, that night, we were both, like, crying. We're like, oh, my God. We're like, they're going to grow up. We're never, like, they're never going to be this young again. Oh, my
dude,
God.
Just, and I say this as someone whose child is only, like, a year older. Dude, it's insane the amount of times that I'm just, like, my son will do something, and I'm just in awe of it, and then being, like, I still remember this little potato that we brought home that literally, you know, was just every little thing. And you're like, this is insane. This is nuts. You know, I remember, I mean, with Grayson not being able to really, he has like his speech problems and everything like that. And now it's just, you'll be sitting there talking to him and he says something that I'm just like, dude, you couldn't communicate. And now the things you say are just ridiculous, and yeah, it's nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've watched parts of 4. I don't know if I've watched it all the way.
I'll be honest, I never had an interest in 4, just as everything was advertised as framing it around, like, it was basically the Scrubs season 9 of Toy Story is the way it was like pitched, where it's like, we're gonna focus on all new characters, and it's like, I don't want that. I want to see the characters I like and enjoy. I have no interest in watching Forky. That doesn't do much for
me. But Forky's not necessarily the main character of the movie
of 4.
It's definitely Woody.
All of the advertisement make it seem like it's about this spork.
Well, I don't mean, I don't want to spoil it, but like when they go, what? They go on like a road trip and like Forky gets lost or like stolen. And then like Woody, like tries to save him. And like, that's the whole thing. Like, and yeah. So it like takes place in like a, it's like an antique mall or like a vintage store or something.
Okay.
Most of it, but yeah, I mean, there's...
I assume it concludes with Woody leaving.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, Bo Peep. Bo Peep is, like, a AWOL toy. Like, it's kind of essentially what, like, Woody... Like, what you see in this movie where, like, they're,
yeah,
you know, the whatever, lost toys or whatever, ownerless toys, that sort of thing. Yeah, man, no. Toy Story 3, the like ending of how the toys become Bonnie's, it's like fucking devastating. Devastating.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that. I'll watch it at some point, but I'm just...
I mean, and then this one, like, just the, like... I mean, I know, like, our kids aren't technically old enough to, like, be at this point where it's like, oh, kids are just, like, inherently mean and, like, rude, and it's hard to make friends, and like friends that are the same like interest as you, like they don't quite get that at this age, but like,
yeah, I'm just thinking of
like when kids, it gets to that point, and I'm like, oh god,
kids my son's age are just like, my son is very like, he doesn't seem very social, like, in fact, even during like parent teacher conferences, the teachers were like, yeah, he just... Grayson's advanced, like, he's intelligent, like, he's ready to move on. We try to get him to try to interact more with the other kids, because it's like, sometimes he looks down on them because he thinks of them not as the same maturity level as him, But then every time you drop him off, it's like Norm at Cheers, where everyone's just like, oh, Grace is here! It's like, it's okay. It's like, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, it's like Grace is just like, I don't really care, and everyone thinks he's cooler because of it. It's like, oh, okay, all right, man.
Yeah, I just,
No, I think it was the, yeah, when, so spoiler for obviously Toy Story 5, when Jessie finds the, like, lunchbox, and she's like, this is too new to be Emily's, and, like, she opens it up, and she reads the letter that's, like, to Jessie, and then I was just like, man, I'm welling up now just talking about it. I'm sitting here like, Ben, laugh, laugh. Don't you cry. Don't cry. You're on camera. You.
Well, yeah, Jesse says something along the lines of like, you know, we're just toys. We don't matter.
Yeah.
And then proceeds
she comes to find out that like, yeah, Emily named her her daughter after, you know, her favorite toy growing up. It was just like, damn, that's.
Yeah, she sees.
That's rough. That's a rough one.
She goes to the tree. If you've seen Toy Story 2 and you're listening, there's the tree where Jessie like is playing with Emily with the tire on there, and they go there. And honestly, I mean, like the whole movie takes place in this location. It was kind of like crazy that they were like, all right, and now Emily's going to go back to or Jessie's going to go back to Emily's house. And I was like fully expecting Emily to like be a mom now or something and be there. And then I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, that's cool. And then when they did the Jessie was here and she's like, I didn't write that. And then they find the lunchbox and I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the moments that really got me.
Yeah, that one for me was the one where I was just like 100%. Grayson did not want to be in like one chair, so we were like passing him back and forth. And then I'm just like sitting there with him on my lap, like trying not to... trying not to let him like feel me...
Don't drown on my tears.
Trying to fight the urge to just like grab him and squeeze him as hard as I can. And also trying to hold tears where he's not like, why is daddy moving so much?
Well, and it's funny the way that like things hit you differently too. Cause like, you know, obviously there is the aspect of like, we grew up with Toy Story. Like we've seen these, like Hannah said her first movie she ever saw in theaters was Toy Story. So, you know, she saw that a couple times in theaters cause she like loved it. And it's like you just said with your mom where, you know, oh, part of that experience is like, oh, I see myself growing up and I like losing this childhood. But then at the same time, like now as a father, you're like, oh man, now my kids are going to grow up. And like, yeah, it is just kind of gut wrenching where you're like, damn, like
I'm time, the things,
time, even the devil. Like,
even the things like the, you know, Conan's character.
Oh yeah, when she's like, she did it without me. She doesn't need me to go to the bathroom anymore. You're like, no.
Yeah. Well, I just think of like we all had it. The play school or not the play school. What the heck was it? Whatever the one, the little play mat with the arch.
With oh the yeah.
Piano that sings the songs.
Yeah, for every like tummy time and stuff.
Every parent's just like, they know that song. They know the Purple Monkey and the Bubblegum Tree song. Everybody. Any parent will know that. And then, like, yeah, I think about it now and I'm just like, never going to see that again. My kids have outgrown it. That's how that's how that piano feels. I'm going to see my kids walking and being like, they don't need me to lay and play anymore. They can lay and move without me. I'm just like, dang, that one hurts. Gets you thinking about the toys that, like, your kids had. The little sensory toys, and it's just like, no, they don't need them anymore.
I mean, it's even like we went through my daughter's closet the other day, and we were like cleaning out stuff to like donate, and it was like, all right, pick out three shirts out of here. Like, which ones do you want to keep, or which one don't you want to keep? And just like some of them, and I was like, she's getting rid of that shirt, like that one, really?
Yeah.
But you know, there's like, I don't know. We started. Like we've started to just like put like a, you know, like some clothes that we have the memories and the pictures of, like those going in this bin, and she can have those when she's older if she wants to put her kids in it, you know, whatever.
Yeah. We kept a couple things that we said we wanted to look to see to getting like the sweatshirts or something made.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we kept some of those like things that we really remember them. Yeah. Those like outfits where you're like, I vividly remember them wearing this thing or, and we said too, we're going to do, like the, every year we do like Christmas pajamas for the family. And I said, like, as the kids grow out of theirs, like we'll keep them, we'll maybe like cut some like squares in that out of, and we'll start putting them together. And then, you know, by the time the kids are old enough, maybe we'll have like a tree skirt that we can make out of just like the things that we had that we got every year. It's like a Christmas thing for us as a family. But, yeah, those types of things where you're just like, they're outgrowing stuff. It, yeah, that hit hard to be like, oh man, yeah, this is brutal. This is tough. Kids movies shouldn't make me feel like that now. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I just, yeah,
not about it.
I feel like
also as a parent who, lets his child have, tablet time, limited tablet time for educational games. Yeah. What is this movie just like? You're a shitty parent.
Well, no, it's not saying that. I mean, Bonnie's parents at the one point was like, literally just tell you, like, you can talk to us about anything. Like,
yeah. No, I will say the nice thing is like having that feeling, but then knowing my son's just so, he has no problem being like, all right, dude, you're going to play with the tablet for a little bit. Yeah. And he's just like, I'm done. Puts it down and he'll walk away and go to playing with whatever toys or things he wants to do. And so, I mean, he's pretty good about being aware enough of his feelings to be like, no, I'm done. I'm good.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
To that extent, I did read where the director was like, did emphasize, Lily Pad is not the villain. She is the next stage in Bonnie's life, designed like a toy to help kids move forward, but with different skills. She just doesn't have the experience like Jesse, who's full of experience, but not necessarily prepared for what's next.
Towards the end, like, she does help Blaze and Bonnie meet and stuff. Like, she does have that, like, character development. She has her redemption arc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she's not necessarily the bad guy. I mean, at the beginning, it's kind of like Buzz and Woody, essentially, in Toy Story 1, where they're, like, butting heads and arguing and fighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, constantly fighting and stuff. The one thing I did like about what I was thinking about, you know, having seen all these movies, is that besides like Toy Story 1, essentially, where, you know, you have Sid next door, but, and I guess Big Al a little bit in Toy Story 2, but the villain in the Toy Story series, I feel like, has always been toys, like other toys of like, especially in the later ones where it's like Lotso and 3, spoiler alert. there's like the weird little Gabby doll, I want to say is what her name is or something, in Toy Story 4.
Well, not just that. I mean, even go back to Toy Story 2.
Prospector Pete, but, you know, Stinky Big Pete. Al has him. Yeah, Stinky Pete the Prospector, yeah. That's what we call Callum. I always call him Sticky Pete. But I always liked that, like, the villain is, it's not never really humans.
Yeah.
And I think that adds to it, because then there's always this human element to the movie with the toys, you know, like, they want to be played with, they want to be a part of these people's lives. And, you know, for instance, in this one, like, Jesse wants Blaze and Bonnie, like, she just wants Bonnie to make a friend. And like, she sees Blaze and she's like, she's perfect. Like, they would be perfect friends. They're both creative and play well together. Or, like, you know, I'm thinking of,
I don't know. Those kids in the dance class, they were villains.
They kind of sucked. But, like, you know, Toy Story 3, Ben, sorry, I'm going to talk about it. It's over 16 years old at this point. But they, like,
spoilers.
At the end of the movie, they head towards this incinerator. And, like, they all, like, lock hands and, like, reach out and, like, touch one another and have this human touch, like, as, like, there's this life-threatening thing going on. And it's, like, such a human element to these toys, you know?
Yeah. No, I get that. I think the other thing that's kind of humanizing as I get older is the voices themselves
have gotten older.
Like, man,
Joan Cusack's voice. I was like, man, she sounds old.
Well, I was just reading too, where Tim Allen mentioned, like, during early recording sessions, someone was like, "You sound a little old."
So you had to do, like, a voice coach opera singer voice coach or something?
Yeah, some sort of vocal training. And it was like, yeah, that's, you know, you think about the fact, well, I didn't even realize, looking back, I had saw, and I'm going to blank on his name, but you mentioned him up top with Blake Clark,
yeah,
who I always remember from The Water Boy. He's the guy who, I always think of him from all the Adam Sandler movies, but namely The Water Boy, being Slinky. And I'm like, he's Slinky? And then in my mind, I'm like, has he always been Slinky? And then I had to go back and be like, no, wait a minute. Jim Varney from the Ernest movies was Slinky in the original.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. And then it got me thinking, like, what other voice actors have changed? And then I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot that Don Rickles was the original Mr. Potato Head.
Mm.
And then Mrs. Potato Head, the actress is what was her name? Estelle. Estelle Harris. She passed away in 2022, which was, I mean, at that point, already after Toy Story 4 had come out. But yeah, being like, you know, as you start to see, I mean, let's be honest, Don Rickles was up there when he started,
yeah,
the Toy Story movies. I mean, he was a famous comedian from the 60s, but man, when I read about Tim Allen, and then when it was like, you know, for 73-year-old Tim Allen, and I was just like, ooh, that hurts. That hurts a bit to think about the fact that he's 73 and be like, man, that one's tough. And then it's like, God, Tom Hanks is also
old. I think about that with, like, Jim Cummings, because some of them, like, do so many voices too. Like, Jim Cummings is Pooh and Tigger, which he did take it over at a certain point, but he's been Pooh and Tigger for so long. He's Pete. He's these voices for Disney. And I'm just like, he's getting up there, man. Like,
and I will say the one thing that is going for it is, like, you know, although I was looking, who took over for Mr. Potato Head was, Jeff Bergman, who's been the voice of Bugs Bunny for a long time. he took over for Fred Flintstone and a lot of other, kind of
like
Hanna-Barbera-y and those types of characters. But it's like, you know, thinking about it, but then you're like, he was also born in 1960. It's not like he's, you know, it's not like they 30-year-old guy coming in and starting this all over again. And it is one of those things where you're kind of like, yeah, you kind of wonder, you know, what's going to happen with some of these characters as this stuff keeps going. Will that be a thing where, is that going to be a thing that's going to come through where, you know, kids growing up are going to have a different idea? Are they going to be able to sound enough alike? Or is it eventually going to be something where it's like, you know what? We don't have someone who sounds enough like Mel Blanc, so let's just let them do something different.
I didn't realize Bad Bunny was in there as pizza with sunglasses.
Ah, okay.
I mean, he only has like three lines in the entire movie, but I was like, wait, what? Bad Bunny? And then I looked, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Well, it's interesting, Combat Carl being in there.
Yeah.
Because I saw something about that where they said Combat Carl was in the original Toy Story before he's blown up by Sid.
Hmm.
And then I recognize him because my son he fell in love with Toy Story of Terror in November after Halloween. Tried to get him to watch it during Halloween. Had no interest. After Halloween, loved it. And he was in Toy Story 4, voiced by Carl Weathers. Rest in peace. And then was taken over by Ernie Hudson, which I was like, oh, that's cool. But I remembered him from all the other things, and I was like, oh yeah, Combat Carl. He's one of the toys that's forgotten when they find Smarty Pants. Like, oh, cool. So yeah, if you watch, you know, if you dive into the shorts,
I do see here
appreciation.
I don't know if you saw this on the trivia that for Toy Story 4 they used unused archive recordings of Don Rickles for Toy Story 4 for Mr. Potato Head. So this was and Estelle Harris passed away 3 years after Toy Story 4. So this was the first one with Jeff Bergman and Anna Focchino.
Yeah,
like in their respective roles. This is the first time you hear Jesse's pull string phrases in a movie. Interesting. I don't understand why, but this one was the first film in the franchise rated PG versus G.
Hmm.
It says that at one point, Lily Pad pulls up a picture of the ocean and as just a still from Finding Nemo.
Huh.
Which I believe the director of this movie directed Finding Nemo, Andrew Stanton. I guess there's two directors, McKenna Harris and Andrew Stanton.
Yeah, but I think it said Andrew Stanton. Yeah, he was at least he was a writer.
Yeah.
Which he was a writer for Toy Story 5, for Finding Dory, Story 3, Wally, Nemo.
Well, he's also, I think he's the voice of Crush.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Well, so I there was a video at some point.
He co-directed a Bugs. He's been with Disney Pixar for forever then.
Yeah. Well, the thing is so like, he's been with them forever. But like the thing it was like they were talking about, you voice Crush and you voice somebody else. And they kind of basically said that like, you know, when they're making the movies at Pixar, what they do is like they record the lines with somebody in house, and then sometimes like they just can't find a voice actor better or like that they want or you know whatever. So then they're like, well, we just use that person and have them record the lines again or whatever. You know, so because I watched we watched The Incredibles not that too long ago, and like the director of The Incredibles does the voice
Brad
of
Bird.
Ed. Yeah, he's in the mode, and I was like, who is this voice actor? What? Let me. And then I was like, oh, it's just the director, which apparently he has something coming out soon. I think
Brad Bird.
Yeah,
he is a it's like a noir animated.
Yeah, it's film. Like his.
It's called Ray Gunn.
Yeah, it's like his pet project that he's been wanting to do for years.
Sounds cool. I love it. I love Brad Bird's work, and I've wanted him to do comic book movies for so freaking long.
Well, I mean, The Incredibles is...
But then he did several Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
So, like, I meant more like a live action, like, full-on live action comic book
film. Yeah, because I read something, I guess after The Iron Giant, he had the chance to work with Disney, and he pitched that Ray Gun and The Incredibles, and they were like, yeah, we'll do The Incredibles. So then he's always wanted to do that.
Yeah, it's like a noir-y sci-fi. I saw something about it. It sounds really cool, and I think the cast looked really cool in it. But it was interesting. I saw it popped up on Instagram. It was, I think... Oh, I want to make sure I get the name right. Tara Strong. Yes, okay. I wanted to make sure this was the right voice actor.
Timmy Turner?
Strong. Yeah, Timmy Turner, a bunch of other characters. But Harley she Quinn? Talked about like her favorite
Barbara Coleman, I guess.
She was talking about like her favorite characters she voiced.
Yeah.
And she was like Ariel in the Little Mermaid. And they're like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, so they brought me in to do like she's like a lot of the times they'll bring in like a voice actor to do the first read so that the animators kind of have something to go off of while they're pitching it to a bigger celebrity or someone to come in and do it. She goes, and then sometimes if they can't find anyone, they'll just let you keep it.
Yeah.
She's like, so they did that with me. And the hope is that either A, you get to keep it, which, you know, rarely happens, but it does happen. But B, a lot of the times, normally if you're good about working with the studio, they'll find you something else in that project or another project to at least keep you working. I was like, huh, that's interesting. I never really thought of that. But like, yeah, it makes sense if you're, you know, just get the guy who wrote this thing. Have him just do the voice, and then at least this gives the animator something to time up the dialogue to, and then we'll have someone come in and re-record it. And actually, no, it's pretty good. Just leave it.
Well, I feel like sometimes I feel like that might be the problem with that is like, oh, well, this is pretty good. This seems fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, shit. Well, maybe we should get somebody with a name to be on there, especially like the Disney now. That's their thing. You know, everyone's. Like,
oh, everything.
All the voices are always like somebody big. So it's like, okay. Well.
It is kind of a shame that like, you know, the idea of like a Mel Blanc, I mean, even someone like Billy West, who's been around for forever doing voiceover stuff, and you're like, doesn't get movies anymore because we have to have, you know,
some big name. Yeah.
We have to have Timothy Chalamet, who no one's really going to realize it's him unless we tell everyone it's him. But, you know, he's a big name. So we gotta make sure everyone knows.
Looking at you, Chris Pratt.
Looking at you, Dwayne Johnson.
He's fine. He's fine as Maui. Honestly, I think he's a good Maui. Now, is he a good Maui in the live action? He looks ridiculous with that curly ass hair. I don't think I've ever seen The Rock have hair.
It's like a real jabroni.
And then I noticed. Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Just because in the previews, I noticed they got Jermaine Clement again for the fucking Timotoa the crab.
Yeah.
And Moana. I was like, I feel like they're just going to go for his, because he's iconic, I guess, voice.
I mean.
And he's animated anyways.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's animated as it is. I don't know. I feel like at that point, why make it live action?
It's fucking Lion King. Like, you just animated him to look real.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so they can keep the fucking licensing.
Yep.
But.
Money.
Money.
Anywho, Toy Story 5.
Anything else about Toy Story 5, Ben? I feel like we discussed the movie a little bit, but it was much of a review and vibes of the movie, of how it made us feel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sit and talk about the one. It's still out. It's fairly new. People will find it. I don't feel like I need to go through a whole plot synopsis of what happens. Like, it yeah. Especially because I didn't go to see it for the plot of it. I went to see it for the nostalgia and the feeling of taking a kid to see his first movie and, you know, the most exciting point being that he got to tell his grandparents. I got popcorn and pop at the movies.
Oh, yeah. You know, we went to...
How was the movies? I got popcorn. All right, well, man. Cool.
Well, we had two free tickets from seeing the Easter Bunny. They had like, oh, if you buy a little, a higher package, you get some free stuff with it or something. So,
Grayson had a gift card we couldn't find, so we went to a different movie theater.
So we used that, and then we bought Isla's ticket or whatever, and then we got like the Toy Story 5 popcorn bucket.
Oh,
and then
we just did the standard.
Isla got to pick out a random candy, so she picked out Gushers. So, like, today at Costco, she was like, gosh, those are the things I got at the movie theater. I was like,
they sell those. I know.
Yeah.
My mom immediately asked, did you get a candy? Chris is like, no. And he's looking at us. We're like, you don't eat candy at the movies.
Yeah, we went at 10 a.m.
Quiet, Yaya. I don't want to hear it, Mom. I never got to have candy at the movies. What type of bullshit are we on now?
Yeah, we had just ate breakfast. It's 10 a.m. Let's give it a large popcorn and some Gushers, you know?
I mean, to be honest, we went like right after lunch, and it was like, yeah, we're still going to get a large popcorn and pop.
Well, yeah, Hannah was like, I'm going to sneak in my latte. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm like, you're the worst kind of person. Like, you're the person sneaking in a whole Taco Bell.
Theaters survive on concessions.
Yeah, that's where they get you. That's what it is.
I mean, it's where they literally make the money.
Yeah, but they don't have to charge me $14 for their 10-cent popcorn.
I get it. The theaters don't make money by charging you $20 to see the movie.
And people wonder why theaters are dead.
Yeah, everything's too expensive. Thanks, Obama.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm glad this was the first movie we went to with her. It was really a lovely experience.
I enjoyed it. You know what? I will say, as someone who gets to go to the movies like once every maybe year-ish, I do love going to the movies.
It just I feel like it means more. Does that mean
not just
like
that? But every time I go, I'm like, I see something, and I'm like, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah,
and I'd love to go to the movies to see it. I really want to see that comedy movie. The I can't remember the girl's name. Something's celebrity sex pass or whatever.
Oh my god, yes,
that one looks good.
That one looks ridiculous.
I saw a poster for a movie that literally was called like a Green Day comedy, and it was Nimrod.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I didn't even see a trailer for it, but I want to see it. Looks cool. Grayson wants to go see Minions and Monsters, and I'm like, I'm kind of game, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say actually, I watched the preview for that, and I'm not like a crazy Minions guy, but like,
I don't really care for Minions at all. But the trailer came on during the movie, and I was like, I'd take him to go see that. I'd go sit through that.
It looks ridiculous. It's also got like Cthulhu monsters and shit. So
yeah, voiced by Trey Parker, because he wanted to do something his kids could watch. Oh, it's not South Park.
But yeah.
Let's go ahead and get this rated.
I was gonna say,
got some Chell to play.
Two sentimental dads who just took their kids to the movies for the first time are going to give you their first ratings of Toy Story 5. There's no emotional...
Two 30-year-old men are going to rate a kid's movie.
There's no emotional weight to these ratings whatsoever. So,
I'm rating this is strictly as if I'm grading it as a school project and as an animated feature.
So you're going to get two fresh ratings on Toy Story 5. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can go first.
All right.
Yeah, it's like we said, this is obviously a taking your kids to their first movie experience. So that definitely does weigh in. I will be 100% honest. If my son were a little shit during this movie, it would probably have a lower rating. He was really well behaved. He loved it. He had a great time. Definitely sways my opinion on it. Look, is it the tour de force of all Toy Story films? I don't think so. I'll be honest. As someone who never even saw the third one, one of those people, I kind of agree with Quentin Tarantino. You made the perfect trilogy. That being said, I still loved it. Thought it was great. I don't know. I think I'd agree with a lot of the scores we saw going in, which had it like a 7 out of 10-ish in that ballpark. I'd agree with that. I thought it was great. If you have kids, take them to go see it. It's fun. I think what I love about this movie, too, is that, like, your kids need to have a baseline understanding of who the characters are, but, like, you could show them. Grayson learned who Buzz, Woody, Jesse, and them were from watching Toy Story of Terror on Disney Plus, the 20-minute short. He's not really watched the other Toy Story movies, and you know what? Not once was he like, I don't understand who this guy is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. You can kind of, even kids can kind of pick up on it enough without needing to know everything, which I think is great for a movie that's number 5 in a series, that a kid can kind of go into it as their first movie and still enjoy it and understand most of it. So yeah, I think a 7 out of 10 is completely fair. It's great. If you have kids, I recommend it. It gives me hope that seeing kids' movies won't be as bad as like what my dad described, where it was just like every kids' movie I went to was just an expensive nap for me.
I think it depends on the type of movie you're watching, I guess.
My dad, one, I remember going to see Pokemon 2000.
Oh, my dad talks about that one all the time.
I don't think he made it through the whatever. And then my dad was like, and then Harry Potter, he's like, I don't know, I fell asleep when he was living under the stairs. I was like, that's the first 5 minutes of the movie. We went to this movie at like 10 a.m. Why were you asleep?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we watch a lot of Disney stuff, you know, with we do like pizza movie nights every Friday. So like we either make pizza or like buy it or whatever. And then everybody, we like rotate who picks the movie and whatever. So,
I can't wait for next week's selection of John Wick. I'm just going to love it.
I am usually the dark horse wild pick though. We did. So, I did Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit. My last pick was My Neighbor Totoro.
Okay.
Which was fitting though, because in Toy Story 3, Bonnie, when she's first introduced, has a Totoro toy.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is in this one at all, but, that was very fitting. So, cause then, we were watching it and I was like, wait, Isla, look, there's Totoro. That's the rabbit guy from the movie we watched. She's like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, so, like, we always watch those movies, and I enjoy them, too. Like, it's, I guess it's just the, watching the joy on my kid's face kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, it could be a terrible movie, but if they're liking it, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen 1, 2, 3, and parts of 4. I haven't seen 4 lately. And I've seen them multiple times since Isla's been born, because Hannah and Isla watched them all when they had like COVID one time. They like watched all the Toy Stories. And then when Isla was first born, we watched a bunch of Disney movies back to back to back to back. So, yeah. So I know the emotional stronghold that this series has on me as someone who grew up with the first two, which aren't as emotional in my eyes. But damn, 3 through 5, they know their audience. They're like, hey, we're coming for you millennials who watched these when you were a kid. So going into this one, I was fully prepared. And then, as it starts getting into the storyline and you're like, oh, damn, like, Bonnie's growing out of him. And Jesse's, like, going through this for, like, the third time now. And then, yeah, like we talked about when, like, Jesse sees the note that, like, Emily, and she's got to go back to Emily's house and all this. And you're just like, they're about to fuck me up, man. Like, but yeah, like we said, the animation is amazing. This, like, classic Toy Story, like, emotion and heart to their movies. The tech versus toy storyline, that's topical and is done pretty well. Like, you know, at the end, it's like, well, Tech's not really the villain, because even at the end, you know, when Blaze and Bonnie are playing, and after they, like, do the wedding and stuff, they're outside and there's the kids across the street and they're like, what are you guys doing? They're like, we're honeymooning. Can we join? And so then they, like, come over to come play with the toy, you know? So it's like, oh, yeah. It's not, like, you know, it's not necessarily the villain, but, you know, I knew going in that it was going to be a Jesse movie, but I like we said at the beginning, I do feel like Woody just shows up because it's a Toy Story movie. They were like, hey, guys, we really got to add Woody to this. because, yeah, like him and Buzz arguing the whole movie, I was kind of like, all right, come on, guys. We can work together. You both can be the deputy. Like, it's all right.
Are we still doing this?
And then the whole high-tech Buzz storyline was just kind of out of whack, and it was funny, but it's just a means to this escape at the end. Like, it was really just a whole wild storyline just for this. But yeah, still good. I laughed. I cried. Smarty Pants is amazing. He's kind of stole the show, I feel like. I mean, Jesse's obviously the star, but Smarty Pants, just almost everything he did was so funny. You know, like when they're even in like a serious scene and they're like, we've got to do our duty. Haha, you said duty. And you're like, come on now. Really? Toilet humor in a time like this? I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed this one. And having seen that, like, I've seen 3 and parts of 4. So, like, I'm excited to see. And I think supposedly they're going to maybe do a 6th one to, like, round out the Bonnie trilogy, is what, like, the rumors are. So I'll be excited to see, like, what happens with that. But yeah, I think it's really well done. And if you have kids, take them to see it, because they'll love it. I feel like Toy Story is just that, like, innocent, easy thing that, like, you know, kids just love, and you don't really have to worry about it. And I feel like sometimes in movies, and especially this one, like, Toy Story 3 has the scene at the very end where they, like, almost get burnt. But, like, this one doesn't really have that many, like, thrilling scenes.
It's not very
like
high
danger
stakes.
Yeah, like, super dangerous.
Even, like, the them getting to Lily Pad, and then it's like, oh, well, we're in trouble now because the truck's moving.
Yeah.
And it literally lasted, like, 2 seconds before it was like, oh, we can just use the Buzz Lightyears as drones.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this lasted all of 2 seconds before it was like, oh, here's the instant solution we have.
Yeah, which was good, though, because I would rather, as a parent,
oh, yeah,
is like, we like fast forward through the, like, the spooky, like, intense stuff. Like, watching Toy Story 3, I was like, can we skip this part? You know, so I was glad in the scene, in the theater where I don't have control over it, that the movie was pretty, like, chill and didn't have any of that, like, super high intense stuff. And, because then I'm the, you know, like, all right, shield your eyes, like, come here, like, you're good, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, 8 out of 10. I recommend it. It was good. If you've seen the other ones and you want to fucking cry, like, get up in there, dude. it's feel good movie, feel bad movie. I don't know. Like, happy tears, I guess. But yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, we have no idea. We have not discussed a double feature for this, so we'll figure out what's related to this, but
this was a, hey, did you go see this with your kids? Yeah, I did. Did you? Yeah, let's talk about it on a microphone. Cool. All right.
But yeah, so we'll figure out what happens next. But if you enjoyed this, please don't forget to rate and subscribe. Check us out wherever you listen, or check us out next time. Share us with your friends and family. Leave a review wherever you listen, because that really helps us out. And as always, watch responsibly.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.